We look tonight again in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it was a very natural thing for a Jewish mother to bring her child or children to a distinguished rabbi, that the rabbi might bless the child. This is what happened on the occasion of our scripture. I want us to look tonight three ways. Look first at the disciples, then at Jesus, and then at the children. First, the disciples. When the mothers began to crowd in as they brought their children to Jesus, the disciples rebuked them. You know, the disciples were pretty good at rebuking and forbidding. Peter, remember, rebuked Jesus when he told them and began to tell them about his coming death. And it was John who forbid someone to cast out demons in the name of Jesus because they didn't follow Jesus exactly like the disciples did. Now the disciples rebuked mothers who brought their children wanting Jesus to touch them. We might ask in bewilderment, How the disciples could be with Jesus and see how he cared for all people and still rebuke those who wanted to be near to him. And yet, through the years, the church has often rebuked directly or indirectly children who need to come to Jesus. It's not true here, but it's quite common for children's classes to be put in the dampest, the poorest equipped, and the least desirable room in the church. The adults want the good rooms. They want the best places. And after all, they're the one who make the decisions, and the children often get the leftovers. I heard of a church on occasion where the woman's class had really fixed their room up. They had painted it just as they wanted. They had decorated it just as they wanted. They had the chairs just as everything. It was plush. But the class was declining in number, and they were only using about a third of the space. At the same time, one of the children's classes, or the teenagers' classes, was just pushing out the walls. They needed space so desperately, and someone was sent to speak to these ladies about giving up their classroom. I don't know who it was, but I got a suspicion it was the minister. But anyway, he explained the situation to them and asked them about the possibility of their giving up their room for all of these youngsters that needed a room so desperately. And one woman spoke up and said, "No, this is our room. We've got it fixed like we want it. We're not letting anybody have it." Another woman spoke up and said, "Now, don't be so quick." Said, "I know what the minister said is true because I have a teenage daughter that's in that class, and they're just crushed in there." Said, "I think we ought to think about it and ask what Jesus would have us do." And the first woman said, "I don't care what Jesus would have us do. Jesus and I don't agree on a lot of things. This is our room. We're going to keep it." You know, we just sort of push it aside. In some churches, only members' children, believe it or not, only members' children are allowed to come to Vacation Bible School. The church doesn't have the time or the space or the money to bother with non-member children. Only members' children allowed. If children who have never been in Sunday school in church come to many churches, they're not welcome. You ask why? Well, because they don't know how to act, and they can be disruptive. They can. I remember so well, I don't think I could ever forget it if I tried. I had this little church where the chancel wasn't solid like this, but it had openings just posts in between wide openings. And one Sunday morning, a young mother came for the first time with about a 3 or 4 year old daughter who'd never been in church before in her life. And she kept getting restless, as little children do, and trying to get away from her mother. And finally, about halfway through my sermon, or a little better, she got away from her mother and she came down and she started going in and out all the way across the channel. Well, needless to say, I might as well said amen, because nobody heard anything else I said. Her mother came and got the little girl and took her back to the pew and held her there. She was just so crushed by what her daughter had done. And immediately after the service was closed, and I pronounced the benediction, an angel named Winnedale was the first person to that young mother and said, "Don't worry about what your daughter did. You come back next week." So she's got to learn. And she was back the next week and the next week. In about 6 weeks' time, that little girl was sitting with her mother through the service. Not always the case. Another church I served, a woman started coming, had two young daughters, and they'd never been in church before, and they didn't know how to act, and they'd get up and walk out during the service and go to the restroom and come back. And people got so upset about these young children. And then finally we had a big dinner there one day, and the children left the dinner to go to the restroom. When they came back, the doors were locked. Some of the saints had locked the doors so they couldn't come back in and disrupt things. How easily, how thoughtlessly we can rebuke the children who would come to Jesus. The disciples rebuked them. Jesus saw what was going on, and he was much displeased. He was pained. He was indignant. You might even say he was angry. It's interesting to see the times in the gospel when it's reported that Jesus was indignant or angry. Always when this report is given, it was over a wrong done to people or others, over some blindness to human welfare. Never did he show indignation over personal affronts. Even when he was beaten, even when he was crowned with thorns and crucified, the only reference he made to his enemies was to pray for them. What most quickly arouses our anger? An injury to ourselves or to some unprivileged person? What arouses our anger? A slight or rejection to ourselves or the multitudes in our society who live without proper food or medication? Should we not pray daily, "God, grant me the indignation of Jesus, to become angry at the right time, as Jesus did"? Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them." Of this, Halford said, the hindering may be unconscious. We may not realize that we're doing it. It may come simply from neglect to take some positive action. In our homes, we may hinder children from coming. We can do it by making Christ unattractive through our own example. I've mentioned this before, but every time Susan plays it, it comes back to me. My mother was never a leader in the church. I never heard her sing but one song, but Susan played it a little while ago for one of the specials. I love to tell the story. Only song I ever heard her sing. Just the chorus. What an impact on my life. We can hinder children in the home by making evident from our manner that we do not consider him tremendously important compared to other interests. We can do it simply by neglect of the child's religious life. Our slippered ease on Sunday, when this is a substitute for a concern about the spiritual forces of our community, this can block our children and hinder them. Do not hinder them, Jesus said, do we? By our lack of consistently living out the Christian life, do we hinder someone? by placing more emphasis on pleasure and games and fun than on faithfulness in worship and service, do we hinder the children from coming to Jesus by neglect of Sunday school, of worship, or even of their daily needs? Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For he said, to such belongs the kingdom of God. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it." What are the qualities of a child that are necessary qualities we must have who would enter the kingdom? Well, you can think of many. We might look at several that are usually found in a child, such as humility and innocence. But I'd like tonight to look at three other things. First, at dependence. A child is dependent upon someone's help, usually mother and dad, upon their love and care. A baby can survive only a matter of hours, and a little child only a matter of days, without someone to provide for its essential needs. And yes, I'd go so far as to say to provide more than for essential needs, to provide love and affection. It's one of those pictures from Korea that haunts me now and again. I would go on occasion to the Seventh-day Adventist hospital there just outside of Seoul, and they had taken in babies, most of them half-breed GI babies, some of them black, some of them white, but babies that nobody wanted. They'd have 20 or 30 of them sitting in little boxes about this wide and about that long all around the room. I was there one time when I think it was 16 of them had measles all at the same time. They provided for their essential needs of food and clothing and shelter, but the missionary told me that a lot of the children died because we just don't have enough people to take them up and cuddle them and show them love. A child is dependent upon someone for their every need, and they are not ashamed to express their dependency either by crying out for help or, when they're able, by asking for help. If we're to enter the kingdom, we must recognize our dependence upon God. We cannot make it by ourselves. Pride and self-righteousness and doing it ourselves just doesn't cut it. It won't work that way. To enter the kingdom, there must be dependence upon God. And out of this comes trust. A child trusts people. A child has absolute trust in their parents, believing that they can do no wrong and can fix anything and make it right. It's amazing how a mother can heal a child's bruise and cut with a simple kiss. But mother can make it all right. Kiss it and put a Band-Aid on it and it's well. It's amazing how a child believes daddy can fix any toy that they have broken. And most of the time, some way or another, daddy puts it back together. But the child trusts. The child does not expect any person to be a bad person. He believes the best about others. In dependency, the child expects others to provide that which is needed and best for him. If we're to enter the kingdom, we must come to trust God to correct whatever is wrong in our lives and provide just what we need to have the best of life. God will take care of us. As long as we think we know better than God, as long as we want to do it all ourselves, we cannot enter the kingdom. One other thing quickly, and I'm through. The third characteristic of a child is that his receptivity. The child knows that he's dependent. He trusts people to provide for him, and he's ready to receive that which is provided. Last Sunday night, it was a thrill to me to have my family here, and our grandson's now 21 and a half years of age. But about 16 years ago, I guess, he was visiting with us, and Winnedale tried her best to spoil him every way she could. She used to be an excellent seamstress. When our son graduated from seminary, he did not have a suit of clothes except clothes his mother had made him. When our daughter graduated from high school, I think she'd had 2 store-bought dresses in her life. Everything else she'd ever had, her mother had made her. And Winnedale took the skill over into spoiling her grandson, and she made him all kinds of action figure costumes. She made him Spider-Man costumes. She made him a Superman costume. On one occasion, Calvin brought him by the house to visit, and Winnedale showed him a pattern for a Ninja Turtle costume. And it was all the rage at that time, and Caleb wanted that. He's something he really wanted, and he told his grandmama she could go make it for him that night. Right now. Well, it was a few weeks later, I guess, that Calvin was bringing him back to the house to visit. And he asked Caleb if he wanted to go play in the sandbox that we had out back. He said, no. He said, well, do you want to play with Noah's Ark? We had an ark with all the animals. He said, no. He asked him, well, do you want to go play with the animals? He said, no. He said, what do you want to do, son? He said, I want to come and put on the turtle suit that grandmother has made me. This is child's dependence, his trust, and his receptivity. For as soon as Caleb and grandmother were together, he was dressed up as a Ninja Turtle. He knew he wanted that suit. He knew he could not make it himself, but he knew his grandmother could make it. And she had promised that she would make it. He, in fact, knew the suit was ready for him even before he came to the house and saw it or held it in his hand. He knew it was there because Grandmama had promised. He was dependent upon her. He trusted her. And he received readily that which she had promised. In his mind, he had received it before he saw it. But he received it gladly when it was presented to him. If we would enter the kingdom of God, we must learn to receive like a child. We cannot make it on our own. We must depend upon God's mercy to enter in. We must trust God to provide that which is best for us, which we cannot provide any other way. And then in faith, we receive that which God has already prepared for us. Seems to me in one place Jesus said, when you ask for something, believe that you have it. Caleb pictured that. He asked for that Ninja Turtle suit. And he believed it was his already. I say to each of us tonight, draw near to Jesus as a child. As those children that day long ago crawled up into his lap, you crawl up into his lap and feel his strong arms of love around you and receive the blessing that he already has for you. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for the examples of little children. And help us to learn to depend upon you and trust you and receive from you all that you have for us. And we pray in Jesus' name.